Good morning, friends. Good to be with you this morning. The text for this morning's exhortation is in Hebrews 11, verse 4. Hebrews 11, verse 4. In verse 4 it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh." This is God's word. This morning we continue looking at Hebrews 11, and so far we have looked at the definition of faith given in verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then we looked at the doctrine of creation, how we begin in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. We believe that God created the heavens and the earth by the word of his power. And so as we go into the rest of the chapter, we have introduced in this verse the first character, the first person from Scripture, from the Old Testament, presented as an example of faith to us. And that definition of faith that we saw at the beginning, the evidence of things not seen, the things that God has promised, we see that illustrated in the lives of each of these people from the Old Testament. And so we look first at Abel. Before we do that, though, let's think about what, when we come to this list of characters, how do we view these people? Why are they in this list? What qualified them to make it into Hebrews 11? They got a chapter in the Bible. They get brought back out after the Old Testament into the New Testament. Why are they here? Well, first, the reason that anyone is on the list in Hebrews 11 is because they lived a life of faith. That's obvious. And secondly, these characters are not put on the list because they are the most virtuous of all people in Scripture, necessarily. It is true that there are virtuous people on this list, but there is a rather diverse cast of characters in Hebrews 11. We can all say that every single person on this list was a sinner in need of the grace of God, and some sinned rather serious sins, didn't they? When we come to look at the saints of Hebrews 11, we need to view them in the right way. Think about how you watch the Olympics. The Olympics come around every 2 years, if I remember correctly. That's how little I pay attention. But you have the Winter Olympics and the Summer Olympics. And when people watch the Olympics, they spend these weeks witnessing these people competing in different sports. And these people are at the utter height of their abilities, right? The reason that they're at the Olympics is because they're the very best. And as you watch the Olympics, you watch with some sense of awe, and you're amazed at the amount of ability that these people have in their respective sport. And you definitely see yourselves as lower than them in that particular sport, right? Maybe not in other areas, but in that sport you're thinking, I'm never going to be like them. The characters of Hebrews 11 are not like this. When we come to the characters of Hebrews 11, we're not looking at the spiritual Olympians. Not in the humanistic sense of Olympians. Not in the way the world thinks of those who are great. These people in Hebrews 11 are those of like passions with us. We're not that different from them. We don't look at these people and think that we'll never be able to live a life that they lived. God has called us each to different lives, but each of us must live a life of faith wherever we have been placed. And no doubt these people in the list of Hebrews 11, they did virtuous things. We recognize those things. We appreciate those things. But the more fundamental reason they're here is because they lived a life of faith. It was not because they're great that they're on the list, but because they looked to a great God and a great Savior. And this is what we see in this list. So as we look at this cloud of witnesses cheering us on in the race, we look not to these great Olympians that are far above us, but people like us who look to a great God. So we look now at Abel and Cain. Abel is the first one in this list. What do we understand about who Abel was? What is it that he did that witnessed this life of faith? And this has puzzled people for centuries. What was it that Cain did that was wrong, and what was it that Abel did that was right? What was the real key issue? And growing up on a number of picture Bibles, I always thought that the main or only reason that Cain did evil and Abel was righteous is because Cain offered vegetables and Abel brought blood sacrifice. And certainly that particular detail is mentioned to us in the Old Testament, so we shouldn't ignore it. But I think there's a couple reasons to go a little deeper than that and to consider what else might have been going on. First of all, we should recognize that in the Old Testament, there were sacrifices that were other than blood sacrifices, right? The Leviticus describes sacrifices that were not bloody ones. And they were legitimate, appropriate forms of sacrifice for certain things. Also, we're never specifically told in Scripture that this is the reason that Cain had done wrong. It may have been part of it, but there's always more to it than just that. So there's another passage I'd like to look at, 1 John 3:11 through 12. This describes what sort of man Cain was in contrast to Abel. 1 John 3, verse 11. "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Why did he slay Abel? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." I think there was more to these works than just what kind of sacrifice they brought. There was more going on in Cain's life than just his sacrifice he brought. But that sacrifice may have been an indication of what else was in his life. And if we look at and compare it with the rest of the Old Testament when it comes to sacrifice, we see some really important principles. Does God care about the form in which we bring him worship? Absolutely, he does. But more than just the form, the Scriptures often pointed to what was the greater sacrifice that we bring, more than just those things that were literally placed on the altar. It was a life of faith and obedience that the Lord was looking for. And so two more passages will help us in explaining Abel. Psalm 51:16-17. In this psalm of repentance, David cries out to God for mercy for what he had done. And he reminds us of what the Lord finds to be more important than just a blood sacrifice brought on the altar. Verse 16, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." If Abel did not have a broken and contrite spirit as he brought those sacrifices, then they did no good. It was only by faith that he would offer those sacrifices to God. And the sacrifice of a broken and contrite heart, a repentant spirit, one that is humble in the sight of God, is of more value to him than these offerings on the altar. And then one more, Micah 6, verses 6 through 8. Micah reminds us here of the importance of obedience as a sacrifice. And obedience is more important than the sacrifices that were prescribed. "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" And then the conclusion of verse 8, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Even above the 10,000 offerings that could have been brought, the Lord wanted this humble obedience to his law. Justice, mercy, humility, these are of great value in the sight of God. So in light of these Old Testament background, we see then that the life of Abel was a life of faith, not merely because he brought blood sacrifice, but because he had a broken and contrite heart, because he walked with the Lord, because he obeyed him, because he was humble before him. So how do we apply this example of Abel to the life of faith for us? Abel had faith in God. He sought God. He dedicated his life to the service of God. And so we see then that the sacrifices of our worship, the gifts that we bring to the Lord, must be flow from a broken and contrite heart of repentance and a looking to Jesus in faith. More important to the Lord than our singing and our offerings is that our hearts are broken over sin and that we've seen our spiritual bankruptcy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And how do you, and once you know you're poor, what do you do next? But you beg. You beg for mercy. You ask for God's forgiveness. Cain's sacrifices were sacrifices of duty only. It did not flow from this heart of faith. And then secondly, above our sacrifices of worship, the Lord desires obedience. If we come away from worship and there is no more love for God and His commandments, and no following through on those commandments and a life of obedience, then we've missed the point. To obey is better than sacrifice. You recall the words of Samuel to Saul when he thought he had done the most pious thing possible. He had brought those sacrifices to the Lord, and yet he had disobeyed in doing so. 1 Samuel 15:22. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Friends, the Lord does not want your rams if you will not obey Him. You should bring your offerings, but they must be an outflow of a life of faith, looking to Jesus for mercy and walking humbly with your God. Offer your bodies first as a living sacrifice, acceptable and pleasing to the Lord. This is your spiritual act of worship. Discern the will of God, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for the life of faith that we see in our brother Abel from the Old Testament. We ask, Lord, that we would live a life of faith just as he did. That you'd grant us to have broken and contrite hearts as we confess our sins to you. We pray that we would see our spiritual poverty and cry out for your mercy. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to walk in obedience to your word, to remember those things which are most important to you, that we would seek justice, that we would act in mercy towards others, and that we would walk in humility with you. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.